In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the Cubs have an interview with Jeff Level, writer of the Vice article we presented in a previous episode. We take time to discuss Jeff's relationship and get an intimate portrait on the life he has made with Alex and John. It's his as COL 336 starts now. October 25th, 2015. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon. Everybody dance
now. That makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
And welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Interminal Length, episode number 336. And I got nothing. But we'll have something. We'll have like lots of somethings a little bit later. So we'll go right into this. I got nothing. Damon?
Came with the nothing. Nice. I will be... What was the thing? Oh. Actually, when this episode airs, forget all this. We changed the date. Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Really?
October 25th. Yep.
Well, happy birthday, bitch.
I wasn't sure when this episode was going to air, but I thought, oh, it'll air in a week or so. But no, it's my birthday. It'll be my birthday. So I will be the wonderful age of 36. And is this episode 336?
Oh, yes.
Ha! Huh. Nice.
Wow. The coincidences all around.
Fate is wow. I got nothing on that.
Yeah.
Now I really got nothing.
Welcome to the world. I was just sitting there looking at it. I go, that's right. I'll be 36 and this is episode 336.
Girl, so you best go play the lottery or something.
I'm about to. But usually on my birthday, I go to Portland. Obviously, the house has changed that. As much as I would like to go to Portland and see my friends, Nathan, Mutt, and Glenn, and see Portland in its beauty again, it's just not going to be in the cards this year. But I will do something. I actually still took the week off of work. I took it off prior to realizing, I'm probably going to buy a house. So I've kept it off. I'll either stay in town and just sort of chillax and do a staycation or, make some other alternate plans outside of it. You know, maybe going somewhere for a few days or something. I haven't really planned it out yet.
So I think what you should try to do is do at home what you would do on vacation.
Sure, that sounds like a great idea.
I'll let everybody think on that, but anyways,
it'll be a nice time. It'll be a good time to just sort of like I said, just chillax and either do stuff with the house and get ready for Halloween or go somewhere and see some people and hang out with people and go from there. So we'll see. I'll report when we next record or after the fact.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So Gary,
when this show goes up, I presumably am back home, but maybe not. It's an unknown to me at this point, but it is quickly coming up on Halloween.
Oh yeah.
And I have been invited all month long to Halloween-ish parties. And I say ish because some of them have been movie nights, like showing Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. Others have been actual costume parties for Halloween or just a party that's in the month of October, but it's not really a Halloween party, but it is a dress-up party. So I'm not quite sure how I'm handling all of that. I don't know what happened to me as I got older. I'm not that big of a person to put on a costume and get dressed up. So we'll see how that plays itself out. But I'm looking forward to PSL going away. Hopefully.
You know what? That reminds me. I have yet to have the McDonald's pumpkin pie yet.
Yeah.
If it's the pumpkin pie, I'm good with pumpkin pie. It's the
pumpkin spice.
Just pumpkin spice anything. Remember what happened on my birthday?
Oh, yeah. True. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, Liney Kugels, I love you to death. I'm a huge, huge fan of your beers. Pumpkin spice shandy, or harvest shandy, as you call it. Terrible. Don't ever do that to me again. I'll stick with my favorite, your honey vice, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but speaking of PSL, Arby's, about a recent incident that happened with them, Arby's has a pumpkin pie shake?
A pumpkin cheesecake shake.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Because they usually have a specialty milkshake flavor now. So they have vanilla, chocolate, and mocha, known as Jamocha. And they've had those three flavors for like over half my lifetime. And then over the past year, I think I noticed they've always been trying to introduce a flavor of the month, so to speak, or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. It's hard to determine how long the flavors are around. Last year, they introduced crack, a.k.a. creme brulee. And that shit would immediately give you a diabetic coma, but was so good. And they haven't reintroduced it, which is pissing me off because I have a funny feeling, like a lot of things that I like in life, it's just never going to come back around.
Womp womp.
So right now they have this pumpkin cheesecake thing. And the only reason I bring it up is because I went through the drive-thru recently and I ordered a Jamocha shake because I like the fact that they have a chocolate / coffee-ish flavored milkshake. And the first sip I take from it tastes like pumpkin.
What?
Right. And I'm like, motherfucker, so help me. They gave me the wrong milkshake. And I'm already driven away. You know what I mean? Like, you're not sitting there at the drive-thru. So I was so irritated. And I was like, really? You can't even get the order right? So I take the lid off and I'm like, oh, well, that's weird. This looks like chocolate syrup on top or whatever. So I smell it and it smells right. So the only thing I can figure, because then I didn't continue to drink it and it was Jamocha. The only thing I can figure is that either one of two things happened. When they went to pour the shake into the cup, the last shake made was a pumpkin one.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit at the beginning, which is at the bottom of the cup, which is where the straw goes. Or they goofed, like they accidentally hit the button for the pumpkin and caught it. And like 1 second later switched it to Jamocha.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can see both of those. I can see both of those possibilities being correct.
Yeah. So anyways, this is just my precautionary warning to all you people out there who work in industries where you have pumpkin spice, whatever, flavored harvest crap. Don't fuck up people's orders and give them partial or a taste or whatever. If I wanted it, I would have ordered it. Don't do that, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say about that.
Sing, girl. Hallelujah.
Okay. Moving right along.
All right.
So, yeah. And I'm just going to put it this way. If you're going to end up, you know, doing stuff, just make sure that you like what you're doing.
Yeah. All right.
So we like it as well.
All right. So let's actually, we need to go into this. So we've got nothing new for Facebook Lights. Sorry.
It's okay.
But Damon, we got a comment.
Ah. So this was in reference to episode number 333, the Chastity episode. And it's our friend RJ Randall Stratton saying, great episode, as always. So thank you, RJ.
I think he's a fanboy.
I think he's a fanboy, too. And that's okay. And it's all good.
Also, Chris George has actually just subscribed to us yesterday, which is actually a few days ago, but still. I do like on Twitter, Charles S. keeps saying, listening to Cubs Out Loud podcast number 333. His hashtag for it, gentlemen callers.
Ho, ho, ho. Sweet.
Nice. Hey, and while I'm thinking of it, where's the info? Oh, remember how we keep doing this to poor RJ?
Yeah.
And we say, oh, he's like our port encyclopedia. He needs to go find this for us. Well, he did it again.
Oh, did he?
So let me put it in the Skype chat. Here is the link to the movie that has the scene of the image that we picked that we liked.
Oh, nice. And open.
So for those that don't know, there was, I think it was a Tumblr pick.
Yeah, it was my, it was the, I can't remember which one it was. Yeah, anyway.
It was the one with the three guys and the one.
Yeah,
the prison guards.
I know the picture. I'm trying to remember the episode, but that's okay.
Previous episode. Yeah, so we had a previous episode where we were referencing a previous episode where this picture was taken.
So, long story short, there was a prison scene in which there was a still photograph taken, and we really liked the models that were in it. We were intrigued to see the scene that was shot, and so he found the film from the manufacturer and gave us the link. And it was made in Britain, so, hey, Chester, a.k.a. Shutter, since you happen to be over in England right now with Bruce, and I don't have English pounds to buy to download, if you happen to be able to find a copy of it.
It's a DVD for only 30 pounds.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, you know, if he picks it up at, you know, a store or something over there, or Bruce already owns a copy.
Just nice. Saying.
I just realized I probably just made him our long distance international correspondent and gave Forchester a task.
Get on that, boy.
So yeah, he made me laugh because he sent me RJ sent me the link and he said it doesn't show the scene when you look at the trailer, but if you look at the cover of the DVD, it's the same set from the scene that Damon posted that picture on Tumblr. Sweet. And then I said, we all knew we could rely on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually kind of looks like they took a screenshot from that screen. They just then superimposed the one guy in front.
Yeah, they superimposed the one model right over that exact image of what we – of the – part of the scene that we want to see. So yeah, and if we go to the back cover, yeah, I'm pretty much thinking that this is the right movie. We just have to track down.
Yeah, perfect.
We just need to get our hands on it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah, we need to add a few extra notes to the sheet. In any case, going right into that one. It's Urban Dictionary with Gary.
So because of the topic of today's show, I went boringly traditional, I guess. I say boring because it's nothing new or revolutionary. Today's Urban Dictionary word is threesome. Now, what I laughed about is the definition I chose was every man's dream. And then the example is Billy Bob's only desire before he passed away was to participate in a threesome.
Well, if you've seen – oh, wait, never mind. That's Billy. Is it Billy Boy? birthday bash, or is it Billy Bob? No, it's just Billy.
Oh, the yeah. Maximum Density video.
Yeah, I think it's just Billy's.
Well, bulkmail.com. There's a great way to find out videos. Let's see here. Is Billy Bears.
Ah, Billy Bears. Okay. Because I was going to say, well, Billy Bob or Billy Bear definitely got his wish in that video.
Well, and, you know, Michael McQuaid was.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I believe I have a copy of it somewhere.
See, I thought you had the complete catalog of just Bear films. So are you saying you have catalog?
I have most of the Bear films, except for a lot of the recent ones, because they're mostly just compilations of stuff they've put on, you know, the site. But a lot of the old stuff. But I do have a few other DVDs of other stuff. And Billy Bear's Birthday Bash was one of the ones that when I got onto Bigger City that I saw the trailer of in FAP2 incessantly. So I ended up finding it and buying it.
I like Carolina Cruising too. Oh, that just happens to be another one with Hadrian in it.
Funny.
Yeah.
Anyways. Speaking of Hadrian.
Bye bye, Daddy. Anyways, what?
Should we?
No.
No.
If you're talking about what I'm thinking.
No.
No.
That's a secret.
Okay. That's later.
We'll fine, we won't even tease.
Yeah.
It's bad enough we're vague podcasting.
Vague casting.
Vague casting.
Hey, how about this? Why don't we just get to our guest? And we would like to actually get into our topic today. Today we actually have an author of an interview, a article we were talking about a few weeks ago called How I Figured Out the Rules on My Three-Way Relationship. We have Jeff Lavelle. Jeff, welcome to the show, and great first name.
Thanks.
So, the big question is, though, do you spell it, is it J-E-F-F-E-R-Y or R-E-Y?
It's J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
Ah,
I know.
Blasphemy.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, for what?
I still love you. Anyways.
Wait, I'm forgiven.
You're sexy, cute, hot, and all, and talented, and all that. So you're forgiven.
Yeah. So who cares how I spell my name?
Exactly.
Right. Look, I've got 2 out of 3. That ain't bad. We have another friend of ours, Jeff Rockub, spells his name J-E-F-F-E-R-Y, which is the correct way of spelling it. So,
in your opinion,
2 out of 3.
So, to remind the listening audience, or to inform them if they haven't gone back and listened to episode 329, we did a Hostful News update show, and it was titled "Is an Open Relationship for Me?" And we were discussing it as a broad topic, and your article, Jeff, that was in Vice.com back in, I want to say June of this year. Is it June or July? July. When it got posted, we were completely raptured with your article.
Oh, thanks.
I will say, for me personally, your writing style was a good, professional, kind of raw, authentic voice, I thought. And that's what I really appealed to, is you were just kind of putting it all out on the table. Like, listen, this is what's going on. This is how it is. And this is reality. And I thought that was beautifully authentic. I think often when people try to talk about things regarding sexuality and relationships, they try to put a nice gloss on it to make it a nice package to present.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I don't think you were trying to smash that mold. I think you were just like, listen, I write. This is how I write.
This is what it is.
Huh. Right. So go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, I mean, I, when we started doing this kind of thing, I went out looking everywhere to find something I could relate to. And everywhere I went, it just all read differently than my experience of it. So really all I was trying to do was just write. I came across so many new ageists and so many hippies, nothing wrong with any of that, but it just wasn't who we were. And so I just wanted to really express what we went through, and it wasn't as easy as everybody else made it seem to be.
Oh, yeah.
Or as magical. There was a lot of, like, we did crystals and made love and we all connected. And we did not do any of that. So, I mean, we made love, but we didn't do any crystals.
So in the beginning of the article, I thought you gave a great intro where you describe a discussion you have with a coworker, or is it with a friend? I think it's with
just a friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
And I loved how you said that her questions had an implication of judgment, even though that wasn't her intention. Right. And I've discussed that with a couple of people that I know, and they instantly get it. Like when I describe the type of questions she asked, I think a light bulb went off like, oh, yeah, that is kind of judgmental, and that probably wasn't what she meant by that.
Right.
So has she read the article?
Yes, I don't think she knows it was her I was referencing, though. I tried really hard not to put anybody on blast. So, like, I think I kind of, like, I hazed over her a little bit. Like, I restructured her just enough, like, to make it so she – I didn't want her to be felt like she was put on point or anything, or that she had done something wrong, because the point of my writing it wasn't to say she had done something wrong. It was to explain my position on it.
Yeah.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Like, when I do – one of the things I'm learning when you write a personal essay or something, I'm not trying to attack somebody else. I'm trying to explain my – reaction to it. So I don't think she's even aware. I mean, she should be aware because it's kind of obvious, but I don't think she was aware that it was her I was pointing out.
Well, so I'm assuming that Daniel was not actually the name of her soulmate.
No, it was not Daniel. No. So I changed those two things just because I tried really hard not to call anybody out too deeply like that.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably, you know, a good thing.
I mean, it was one of the conversations I actually had with Vice was, since this is not a news piece, it is a personal essay, I had a little bit of leeway on that. Like, it was just easier not to full force attack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The names were changed to protect the innocent.
Exactly. Yes.
And you didn't genericize it where people would kind of raise an eyebrow because you weren't like, this bitch said.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was all it played out the way it played out. I just wanted to change the names a little bit and make it a little less obvious.
Judging you kind of thing, like judging someone else for making the judgment of you.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So
exactly.
Why don't we take a step back for a moment and kind of talk about how this all came to be? My understanding or impression is that you've been in out of relationships over the course of your life and you discovered Alex at a certain point, but I don't get the feeling that was a long time ago. Your relationship with your husband Alex is relatively new. Is that correct?
About 3.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty new. Yeah.
And how did you and Alex end up meeting?
We met on Scruff.
Ha!
Cool.
Yeah, so we met on Scruff. It was just one of those things. We met on Scruff, and he was working on — I don't think he was working on Sharknado at that point. He was working on iZombie or some zombie movie. And he basically — I thought we were going to have a hookup, and he insisted we go on a date.
Oh.
And then I conveniently forgot my wallet, so he had to pay for the date. Which is great. He did. So that was great.
Nice. I love those kind of things.
But we had talked, I think we had talked for like a few days, and then we went on a date, and then it was my birthday, but I wouldn't let him come to my birthday.
Hmm.
I just said, it's not time yet. He still likes to bring that up.
That's a big step. You're coming to my birthday.
Well, it was just one of those things. Like, I was like, I'm not doing that. And then his birthday came and he let me come to his.
Oh.
But yeah, we met on Scruff.
Very cool. And then you dated for a period of time. How long was it until you kind of made the, we should move in or be,
you know, things
domestic
went they went sort of quick, I think, probably. I would say he moved in — if we met in May or end of April, he moved in January.
Huh. So, April, May, June, July, August.
I gave him keys like 3 weeks in, though. He had keys to my house really fast.
So you are only like three quarters or two quarters lesbian or,
exactly.
or lesbian yes, or something.
A little bit, yeah.
not completely just, lesbian.
Right. But it was just convenient. He was working like 17-hour days, and if he was going to come over, it was just easier. I could just fall asleep and not worry about having to like
wake up and go downstairs that. Or yeah. blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So instead, you just gave him keys so he could let himself in
yes.
and then wake you up in bed.
Exactly. That was actually, yes. yes.
I understand that.
I mean, so, Alex would like it to sound more gentlemanly because he's definitely more of a gentleman than I am.
Well, he did ask you for a date first.
Oh, it was mandatory that there was a date.
Well, I did catch between the two of you and your personalities, the way you've described him in your writing, in the article, and then also on your website online, I've caught that you the difference in your personalities, he's, I guess, kind of been brought up or cultured in that, like he is going to be gentlemanly and, you know, right. and that type of stuff. And it isn't to say that you're the exact opposite of that.
I'm pretty close to that.
Trying to be nice. that, you know, you're differently that way. So I guess in some ways people could see your relationship as very yin yang.
Right. There's also a really, I mean, I'm 17 years older than him. And so I think some of that plays into it. Like, I might have come into this a little more jaded. And he's definitely broken that down a little bit.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm a
way
big
to go, Alex.
I'm a big proponent, it turns out, of younger, since they're both 17 years younger than me.
Ah.
So let's jump ahead to that. How did John get introduced, so to speak?
We met John on Scruff.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
I know. We met him on Scruff. And he was, I think I said this in the article. Alex and I had very clear rules about, I don't think of us as open necessarily. We had very clear rules on what we could and could not do and how we could do it. Mm-hmm. And the rule basically was whatever we did together was fine. I mean, we like to think of it as like monogamy-ish. And we've had three ways. That was kind of what John was going to be. And he came, I was working at this bar in LA and he came and met us there and we went into the stripper changing room and we all kind of made out and then made a plan to, he was going to come over. We were going to watch a movie, have pizza and then have a three way. And we did that. But he kept coming back.
Huh.
I mean, we kept inviting him back too. Like it was a mutual.
It wasn't the stalker, like
no. It was a mutual.
In the middle of the night thing.
It was mutual, yeah. And we kept texting him, you know. And then there were, I think the thing people don't always get, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but there was a massive amount of discussion between Alex and I about what we were doing because we knew we were walking down this road. We just didn't know. You know, like, we didn't know, is that the road we want to go down? Alex's best friend had been entered into a triad 2 years prior to this. And we would say the worst things about them behind their backs. We thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard of in my life.
Oh,
I was like, there's no way this can work. This is ridiculous.
So, you're one of those guys.
You're one of those guys that's like,
God, that sucks. God, that's such a fucky thing. And then it happens to you.
Well, yeah. And then you're like, oh, wait, like, wait. This can happen. So we didn't, I don't think, and John was also not. He had also kind of felt the same kind of like, oh, I don't know what I think about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these things are kind of the fad right now in Los Angeles.
Oh. Like
they're all over the place. Everybody seems to be in a triad or they get, now they're calling them packs.
Wow.
Interesting.
So, and packs are like multiples of four and up. Okay. And that, well, I definitely can say I'm not doing that. But I think it's great. I'm totally open to it.
You're like, have as many dicks as you want. Two are good enough for me. We're fine.
I'm great. I'm good. I mean, no, bring a third one in sometimes, but they're not sleeping over. Like, we already can't fit the three of us in the bed.
Like, oh, you're sweet, and this was fun.
Yeah, but not time to go home.
Yeah.
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 Off the bed. My favorite part of this entire experience is you leaving. Bye.
Yes. Exactly. But yeah, so John, it just kind of kept building and building, and he was living in Orange County at the time.
Which, for our listeners, Jeff, how far away is the OC from where you are?
From me, he was probably – well, where he was in Orange County was about an hour.
Okay.
And then
– which for some is like a long-distance relationship, but yeah.
Wait, but in Los Angeles, that's just – that's just the way it is. It can take that long to get, like, to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so then – and Alex and I were scheduled to get married in February. All of this happened. The other thing is, all of this happened. I always say it's the best thing that could have happened at the worst time.
Hmm.
Because Alex had been gone for 6 months working on this TV show up in Spokane, Washington, where he is right now. And he had just gotten back, and we had to plan this wedding for February. And we met John right in that time frame.
Oh.
So John kind of came in right as, like, Alex just got home. We're planning this wedding, which is already a big, you know, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were so many big things happening at once, which is just, I think I've decided that might just be the way life is.
Yeah.
And we had to navigate all of that. And then something happened with where John was living, and he was going to move back to Bakersfield. And we were like, no, yeah, Bakersfield. And we were just like, you might as well just stay here for a while, which is always basically like you're moving in.
Yeah.
And then he moved in. We introduced him to our families at our wedding, which is a whole other experience.
So I want to ask you about that, because you write about it in the article. Yeah. And I'm so intrigued by this. I think I misspoke to some people, and I want to make sure I understand it since I'm talking to the source. At the wedding, mm-hmm. if I reread the article correctly, John is the one that introduced himself to friends and family at your wedding to Alex.
Often. Well, it depends. Like he met my dad and my brother and one of my nephews and Alex's mom at the family dinner the night before.
Okay.
But then, like, friends would come up and be like, oh, who are you? And that was when he would just have to, he was stuck kind of like fending for himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a.
So I'm curious. I have this weird sitcom kind of like reality playing out in my head of him saying, oh, I'm the boyfriend. And then, you know, camera cuts to, you know, close up face reaction of shock and or disbelief or confusion or something.
I mean, again, like, I think in the sitcom, you're probably right. We, you know, like, my family is uber left wing liberal Jews from the East Coast. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think nothing really phases them. And I've put them through a lot, so nothing phases them. Some people, and then we had about 140 people here, and I would say 90 of them were gay.
Mm.
So no one really, I mean, I got a few people came up to me and said, wait, that's your boyfriend? And I was like, yeah, that's the boyfriend. That's John. He's moving in a week. And some people there were some people who expressed concern, like, you know, you're just getting married. You're choosing to do this. We got some of that too. I think the parents, I mean, you know, my dad's 78, so there's not much more that's going to really throw him over the edge. he kind of got to that point, and he's doing great. But I think some people really felt like, why would you do this?
Mm.
You know, like, why? You know, the other thing that I think was interesting is we had a lot, the reaction of some of our straight friends was much better than some of our gay friends.
Really?
A lot of our gay friends were kind of like, it's not. So one thing I'm surprised by this article is how many straight people do this. I'm amazed. The majority of responses I got were from straight people.
Oh.
Who are doing this all over the world.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, hundreds of emails. So that was something that fascinated me, because sometimes I think we think, and my dad said it really well. He goes, you know, anything you guys are doing, we've been doing for thousands of years.
Well, and actually, hate to say, it makes sense. It's kind of true, you know, and I can understand. I've watched a lot of TV. So a lot of things I see a lot of are these different heterosexual relationships, and how, as much as we like to think that we're the new guys on the block doing all these new fascinating things with regards to relationships and sex and monogamy and you know, all this stuff, we're really not.
No.
Yeah, we're not. We a lot of this stuff has been going on for a while. You know, I come from the leather BDSM aspect of things in a lot of ways, and that is something I've seen and I've experienced and I know about just through the women and men, heterosexual, heteroflexible word, realm that I see them doing this. You know, Miss Tammy, for example, who has a husband / slave. That's not new. It's something right. That has been around.
Right. So it's a fad right now in LA for gay. My sister-in-law was here and she was fascinated by the whole thing. And then this friend of hers that she went to high school with, this straight guy, says, oh, I'm in LA too. Let's get coffee. And they go get coffee and he starts talking about how he is dating this girl and this other guy.
Huh.
And both the guys are straight. They identify as straight. And yeah. He's like, yeah, there's a whole... And then he starts talking about all the clubs they go to and the triad clubs and the open clubs and all these things. And you're like, oh, there's a whole – some of the negative stuff we got from gay guys, which is – some of it was kind of weird. It was like, I can't find one good boyfriend and you've taken two. That's not fair. Oh. You're greedy. And I just kind of wanted to be like, it doesn't sound like you're going to – I don't – never mind. Okay. But he just sounded really bitter. The other thing was we fought so hard to be respected at all. You're undermining it and proving everything everybody's ever said about us to be true.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. And I just want to be like, you know what? Like we fought. Part of the fight is that we get to be who we are.
Yeah.
And the fight wasn't that I get to be who they are.
Yeah.
I just get the same rights and I get to handle them however I want. The same way they do.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the way. So we got some of that.
I hate that. Sorry. What was I going to ask? Oh, well, I'll think in a second. But I find it very interesting that it was you got more reaction. The one reaction you tended to get was the, you know, I'm a single guy and you guys are taking up all my.
Right.
The quant you're taking up the limited quantity of men out there by being in a triad relationship.
Right. Well, you just realize that they're just unhappy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing I can do about that.
That's what I was going to say is people who make such statements, it's really reflective of them and their personality and their mindset.
Right.
You know, they're very much being pessimistic as opposed to optimistic and being like, oh, well, good for you. There's two for you. I can't wait to get two of my own or I don't know. Right. Whatever. Right.
Or maybe more.
Oh, yes. Or maybe more if they could make a pack. So that's one of the things that I find interesting in terms of this. So I'm also interested, Jeff, on how things have been going through the process of establishing a triad. Because the impression from reading the article in that is that this is your one and only.
This is the only one I've ever been in. You know, it was – I don't think we're the norm on this either because literally, you know, the night that we got married, Alex's boss told him, you have to start work on Monday and you're leaving for Spokane in 2 weeks. So literally John moves in and then Alex leaves for 6 months.
Wow.
And Alex is coming back I go get Alex on Tuesday in Portland to drive him back. And John got a job as a journalist in Bakersfield. So now John's gone. And Alex is coming back. So there's been a little bit of not – it's a very interesting – I mean, John and I go see Alex about twice a month. But it has been very, life has been very weird. Like, and John's here on the weekends. And so when Alex gets back, John will be here on the weekends.
Yeah.
But I'm basically the only one who's lived with everybody consistently. But I mean, they have their own relationship. They text, they talk to each other. They have their own experience outside of me. So
I'm speaking of that. I'm curious about something. If you're willing to talk about it, you're sure. Very open in the article and kind of what I've read online that you've put out there about the complexity of being in a relationship with more than one person and watching Alex and John develop their relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And how you actually said in the article that you were jealous.
Oh, sure. I mean, ferociously sometimes.
Well, that was kind of the impression I got. That's why I really liked your article, because you were – I'm going to paraphrase. Like, my interpretation was, like, we're in a three – like, there's a three of us in a relationship, and I suddenly see the two of them creating their relationship, and I'm not a part of that. And what the hell's that about? And you what does that mean for me?
You don't know what, like – I think I talked about this in there, but I'm not sure. So if I didn't, this is new information. I would lay in bed and watch to see how often Alex put his arm over John compared to me. I would tally it up in my head. I would tally up affection. I would, and I know everybody did it. Like, I mean, you know, we all kind of did it, but I know for myself, it was very hard at times. Like I remember one night I went up to take a go pee or something, and they were facing each other and their hands were like interlocked and like they were asleep. And it was really beautiful to look at. But yeah. At the time I wanted to murder them.
Yeah.
Like literally, like it was blood red, want to kill.
Oh.
And that was really hard. And we, you know, like I did things like I would get out of bed and go in the living room and open and shut the front door really loudly until someone came out. we went through all of it, like none of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the thing, like I read The Ethical Slut and Opening Up, and they're all like, oh, jealousy's normal and you just have to work through it. And it's like, how the fuck do you work? Like these people, what are they talking about? Like, cause I want to kill. And it was really hard, and it's okay for me to love you both, and it's okay for you both to love me. But
yeah,
I draw the line there.
Right. Like, you two loving each other is the limit.
Yeah. No, for yeah. whatever reason, for whatever reason, I kind of feel you on that one.
Yeah. And I've learned. I mean, this is the thing. We've all learned.
Yeah.
How to do it, and it's counterintuitive in a lot of ways, but what's amazing is once I learned, and don't get me wrong, like it, the Alex was just here and we had a ridiculous fight. Like three-way fighting is horrendous. It just sucks. But when it's really good, it's amazing. And there is something astounding about watching the two of them together that I can't even, like, it's beautiful in a way that I'd never experienced before.
You but can't get mad at it, but you do kind of get mad at it.
I can get mad at it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. That's the other thing is I've realized a lot of people who do this, they're so easy. They're just kind of like – I've met so many people who are like, oh, I just go with the flow. And that's not who any of the three of us are.
Yeah.
We're not – none of us are, you know, like we're all kind of alpha. None of us are back down kind of guys. Like it's just not – who we are. We all have distinct careers. We all are kind of successful at what we do. We all, you know, none of us are. So if we're upset or we get jealous or any of those things, they really, it exists in a palpable way. Like you feel it.
So that brings up an interesting point. And, you know, you've been honest in the article and in talking to us about that. It isn't all, you know, a bed of roses or peaches and cream, that there's, you know, that you have disagreements and fights and arguments. How do you guys work through that to a resolution that you're still together now? Because I think that's the part that people would be shocked to hear. One, that yes, there are ups and downs, and it's like any relationship. You're not always going to agree. You're not always going to get along, but it's still happening. It's making right. do. You haven't, no one's been murdered and no one's, you know.
No. Yeah.
With cross country.
I know. We all love each other and we all really like each other. And there's, that's never in doubt. And I mean, look, one of the times John and I went to Spokane, Alex like threatened to divorce me and kick us out. And John was going to have to get a hotel room. But we didn't leave, you know, and that went on for hours and we all talked and we were all just afraid. And I think we all know that. And we try to really be tolerant and cut each other slack because look, this isn't easy even when it's two people. Like it's just a little more compounded with a third, the bad stuff. But then for everything that's compounded that's bad, it's equally compounded good.
Yeah.
And I don't just love these two guys. I like them so much. I can't imagine them not in my life. So whatever we have to go through, it's getting easier now. We're beginning to learn each other. Like, you know, Alex and I had our thing. We understood. We understood how we fought. We understood. And Alex and I are both, I'm not tall, but I'm only 5'6", but I weigh 220 pounds. And it's not, I'm not really, you know, I work out a lot, so I'm a pretty big guy. And then Alex is equally, he's close to 250 and he's a pretty big guy. So it's not like we're little. So like when we fight, I think people get intimidated by it. We don't get physical with each other, but we definitely, we can, at home, we have an argument. But we've learned how to deal with it and we've learned how to work through it and we've really learned. We had a life and we know how to travel together. We know how to eat together. We know what we like. And then we introduced this whole other person and we went back to zero.
Yeah.
Like completely back to zero and had to start. That was the shocking part because I still have Alex, but then we're beginning again with someone who is not necessarily like us in many ways. Alex and I all stay up to 5 a.m. John's in bed by 10. Like he has her bed, he gets sleepy. You know, like I think we wear him out a little bit sometimes.
Oh.
But like we had to relearn the whole thing over again, you know, like and that's tricky for anybody. But I think it helps that Alex and I were so solid.
Yeah.
Because that John was coming into something. We didn't do this because we were broken. We didn't do this because we weren't having sex. We didn't do this because our needs weren't being met. We were happy. Yeah. If John had never shown up, our lives would have been great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
In a lot of ways, it's just something that happened. Like that's the thing I think most people don't realize. There wasn't a need for it. It wasn't a desire for it. It was just something that happened. And
yes.
I think that's the thing that most people don't understand. They have a difficulty understanding that sometimes it's just something that happens. There's no real like A plus B equals C. It's just sort of the path that you all kind of ended up on and they kind of coincide. They turned into each other and now you're all together. So it's not I wonder why people don't seem to realize that sometimes it's just the way that's just the way things happen. You never wanted it to, but it did. And now you're kind of having to live with it and go with it. And I love that you are not sugarcoating anything.
One of the things, I got a lot of emails from people who were going through what we were going through, and it was really great for me to realize, you know, these people helped me a lot. And I think like it's all really beautiful to say, oh, you have to accept the jealousy in yourself, but you have to be willing to, and you have to be willing to let your partner go if they want to go. And I was like, fuck that. What do you mean let him go if he wants to go? No, that's not what I'm doing here. Like, I'm not doing that. And so, like, those are all really beautiful things, but that's not really, you know, like, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, like, you're going to fucking fall apart. You're going to cry. You're going to be scared. You're going to, you know, like, look, I do crazy things. Like, in my head, because I'm so much older, I imagine me on my deathbed and the two of them holding hands over me, and, like, I have to give them my blessing. You know what I mean? Like, I go through all of these crazy things. Like,
no, but I get that. Yeah. I really get that.
I think it's just normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's interesting that you just said something that it gave me pause, because I'm one of those people that has always said, and I've said it on the podcast, if you are a couple and you want to open your relationship, my perspective has always been you have to be willing to let go of your partner, meaning if your partner falls in love outside the relationship, you have to be able to face the fact that your relationship may not last. Right. And we're not saying that it won't. I'm just saying, like, you have to accept this as a reality. If you ignore it, you're probably going to be in for a world of hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can come up with rules against that. I mean, right. It sounds really crazy, but, like, you know, I have two friends, and they kind of have a rule that if you start getting emotionally connected, you walk away.
Hmm.
You know, like, because what I've learned is the thing that people don't seem to get is you're going to be able to fall in love with somebody else. And it really doesn't mean you don't love the person you're with. So, yeah, you're right. Like, and if you're not willing to do that, then you have to walk away from that new person.
Hmm.
Like, and I think that's I really think rules, well, I hate rules, but I really think that they're way more important than they're what kept this working for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, someone asked me a couple of days ago, do you ever get upset if you have to leave and it's John and Alex alone at home and you know they're having sex? Well, this is whatever. They're not going to care. and if they do, they'll get over it. The rule is that doesn't happen. If we're all in town together and we're all in home together, we wait for each other. Because I don't think we're ready for that yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, John's gone 5 days a week. And so, like, we all want to get laid. And if they're going to fuck, then when I get home, no one's going to want to fuck anymore. You know what I mean? So, like, we all want to get laid. So let's wait. So we have kind of, like, we set up really clear guidelines. And some people think, oh, well, that's not romantic or that's too controlling. And, you know, it's just to keep everything safe. It's just to make sure that we're okay. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, and if we had said Alex came home and John was still living here, then, you know, things are going to happen. And that's fine. Like, that's normal. But,
yeah.
But if he's gone and, you know, the way it's working now, we just come up with really clear rules about everything.
Yeah.
So basically, y'all just masturbate solo until you're all together.
Yes.
yes. But I just wanted to make sure it was clear. It's like, okay, you know, Alex is up there and John's.
Oh, no,
you know,
no. When Alex is up there, we kind of opened it up a little bit for him. Because he's okay. He's up there and then I'm here with John, and that's not really necessarily realistic.
Because he's gone for so long.
Yeah, it's just not realistic. Look, he's 30. Like, when I was 30, like, I want to, like, imagine. Like, the other thing is, I don't want to set up a scenario. I think people do this all the time. If you do this to me, I will leave you. All you're doing is saying to your partner, please lie to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, if I say to Alex, you can't get a blowjob when you're in Spokane for 6 months and you're stressed the fuck out on this job. If I cuss too much, I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Okay, you're stressed out on this job.
You can swear all you want, but you have an explicit tag.
All right. You're working, like, 15 hours, 6 days a week, and you just, like, you know, like, I really, my only request was I want to know about it, because when I jerk off, I want to think about it. Like, it's sexy to me that he's got some guy up there. You know what I mean? Well, like, that's nice. Hot. Yeah.
It's better than saying, all right, well, you can get a blowjob, but we have to FaceTime it live so I can watch it happen.
I don't need to do all that. Yeah. But it's just nice knowing that my boyfriend or my husband is this big old stud who's got this guy up there. That makes him sexy to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the flip side to all of this, is that we use it as a way to flirt with each other. And if you keep it secret, then we're not a part of it. We can't share in it. It's not, But if you don't keep it secret, and like when John and I have sex, we like to take pictures and send them to Alex.
Oh.
Because then he gets to participate. He gets to like be a part of it in some way. You know what I mean? Like, and then it becomes sexy for all of us.
Yeah.
And if he's going to have this guy up there, I get to hear about it and it gets to be sexy for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And between the three of you, you found that balance, not only like sexually, but also in the terms of the relationship and how you're living together. I'm curious, because I imagined when we were going to interview with you for the show that Alex and John were not going to be there.
Right.
Did you tell them about doing the show with us?
Oh, yeah, they know. I mean, and actually, John's in the house right now. Because he's here for the weekend, so he is walking around the house a little bit. Like I said, he could listen to me. I mean, you can ask him a question if you want.
Well, so here's where I'm coming from. A very close friend of mine revealed recently to me that he was in a triad years ago.
Right.
And he said to me, "I'd be curious to know what the dynamic is like being the third." And not that you need to put labels, but your relationship was established with Alex and then John came along. And he went through a similar thing. He said, you know, "I didn't realize when I met these two guys that they were a couple. We all flirted." And he said he didn't realize that the two of them were a couple. They were flirting with him on different things. And he didn't realize what was going on until he found out they were a couple. And then he was like, "Oh, you're a couple. Okay. And then, lo and behold, they were in a relationship for a couple of years and lived together in that. But I understood where he was coming from. He was like, you know, yes, this person, meaning you, Jeff, is the writer who put the stuff out there. He said, but I'd be curious to know what their thoughts and stuff are. And I said, well, we could look at that. And if they're not available, we could potentially revisit it. Because I think everybody has a different voice to what they bring.
Huh.
So
right.
I guess what I was asking about or inquiring is if you know at a different point, it doesn't have to be now or today, if either John or Alex would be interested in discussing the situation further about how
I would say probably yes. I'm not going to put John on the spot right in this moment.
No.
Because I don't think he's prepared. But yeah, I think John's perspective is a particularly – I think both their perspectives would be completely different than mine. And John's perspective, of course – I mean, look, we tried to take that into consideration all the time. Like Alex and I had each other. Like when John would go away and we obsessed as if we were single and dating this new guy about John. And then we would talk about it to each other. Like, I would get insecure. Why did John say this? And Alex would go, "Baby, I don't think he meant that." And then the next day, Alex would be like, "Baby, why didn't he say this to me?" And I was like, "Okay, I think this is what he meant." So, like, it was like this – it was so surreal. But then I realized John didn't have anybody to do that because it was hard enough to even talk about it with your friends because you had all their judgments about it. Exactly. And he had to kind of, like – so we kept trying to engage John in that conversation, which I think must have been really overwhelming for the poor guy. Like, you know, because we were like, "Baby, what do you think about this? This is what I thought."
You were being the – oh, God.
We were trying.
What are you thinking about, honey? What are you thinking about now?
Yeah, we were just trying really hard to like – you know, like the other thing is I am very communicative and they're both – more withdrawn. So I'm always like, you know, like, and we, the other thing is trying to realize that everybody's way is right. I don't always believe that, but I know it's true. And so we just, John has a whole other, he had to like, you know, develop this whole other, the other thing is John got involved with two guys and suddenly he was left with one guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and I don't think none of us knew what that was going to look like. We had to all talk about that. We had to talk about what that meant. Like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think John would definitely be interested in talking, and you can reach out to him on Facebook if you want, Gary, because I know you found me, you have me that way. He's on there.
Okay.
He also, his job is a little public. So you just ask him.
Yeah. Okay.
Their jobs are a little more public than mine. So I mean, mine's public too, but part of my publicness is being overtly public. who knows what they'll want to talk about or not talk about, but I've been given free rein to talk about anything I want.
That's perfectly understandable. I want to ask you something that you put in the article that I never thought of, and now it's something I'm going to think about with every triad. You said that you booked a room up in Seattle.
Right.
You know where this is going, right? At the hotel. And the front desk clerk, this woman, puts her foot down and basically becomes a complete ball buster.
Yeah.
And is telling you that you're not allowed to have one room with a king bed with three people in it.
Right. We were told it's for couples only.
And then you tried to tell her that you're actually a relationship.
Yeah. And I kept saying we're a couple, which I know is part of the problem. But I kept trying. And then finally she was like, it's the fire laws. And I was like, really? The fire laws define that specifically about the size of the bed? Well, it's hotel policy. And I just kind of we gave up on it. We just
she
got
was
two
king size beds. Things up.
Yeah. But the great thing was we learned something from that. We got two king size beds in the room and we pushed them together. And we were like, oh, this is what we need. When will I get a one room with one king bed?
We have found nirvana. It is two huge beds pushed together.
Yes. That woman, for all the bitchiness that she was, really gave us a great – so now our goal is to buy another king size bed. Because that was great.
I've seen that recently. A couple that are friends of mine had a baby. And they were talking about how with the baby, they realized they just need to turn the bedroom into nothing but a big mattress.
Right.
And screw the furniture. Just make it a big mattress with a ton of pillows. So no matter where you go, you're in bed.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we have to keep the AC on in the middle of the winter because we're just too much heat.
Ah.
Yeah.
So are all three of you furnaces then?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. There's no blankets, and the AC is on high. I mean, winter, LA winter, it's 70 degrees out.
Oh, shit.
But we, yeah, it's that's always a thing.
Interesting. So how long until you think you'll get that other bed?
Well, Alex gets back. Now that John's only here on the weekends, it kind of cut down the emergency on it.
Yeah.
Because John will be doing this for a year. And I don't know how long Alex, who knows, how many seasons this will get picked up for. So it'll kind of depend. But once John's back and Alex is going to be here for 6 months, we'll definitely need it. Right now we have a queen size bed and we can make it work.
Yeah.
But we're literally
really close and
piled on top of each other in pools of sweat.
Boy, you really are on top of each other because I'm thinking I have a queen size bed and I'm single. And when someone stays over, that's too much for me.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, but that's what I mean. We're really comfortable with each other. It's very strange. And then poor little Paco, the dog, tries to get in bed and we can't let him in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
I'm glad I have a king size bed. Unfortunately, there's only me.
I used to have a king size bed.
Well, I'm hoping that works out. Now, what's on the immediate horizon? Because the scheduling of this was kind of a timed thing. I believe all three of you are about to take a vacation together.
No.
Oh.
Or not.
Alex and I are. So this was another – we had to kind of figure this out. Alex and I had our honeymoon planned, and it was a month in Europe. And what we were going to do was spend a week with John in New York because I'm from New York City and he's never been to New York. But he got this new job, so he can't take any time off anyway.
Oh.
So Alex and I are going. And I think we all kind of decided it was just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
We needed that time probably. Everything happened. We got married. He moved in. Alex left. We have had no time to process anything. And we're trying to honor each, we're trying to honor the relationships that exist. Like when Alex goes away again, I think instead of the two of us going up to see him twice a month, John and I will each go up alone once and then go up together once. Mm. So that Alex and John get their time together. Like they need that. They need that. Like,
yeah,
you know, so no, we're bailing on the poor guy for about 3.5 weeks. Which is surprisingly, I'm really excited to go and I'm going to miss him so much. It's all very weird. Like holding the two different emotions at the same time. Yeah. Excitement to be with Alex, but really going to miss John.
So I'm guessing some type of Skype voodoo FaceTime thing may come into play during the.
Probably. Yeah.
Interesting. See, I had this fantasy all worked up in my head. I'm like, oh, the three of them are going to go travel and go do this thing together. And not this time.
Not this time, though. We are, I think what we've decided is before Alex goes back for season three, we're going to take a week and go, probably just go to Paris or something for a week.
Nice.
Because John's never been to Europe either. So we're trying to do something. So he gets to do stuff too.
Yeah.
Cool. But he has a real job with real vacation time and things that neither Alex or I have.
Yeah. Nice.
So his is the job in the what most people call norm.
Yeah.
And so
he's a journalist, so he works for a paper.
Right.
Ah.
So he gets to be more efficient in scheduling the time off and that, and you guys are more at the whim of the work that's happening.
I can really do whatever I want. I have no constraints. Alex is free for about 4 months. Alex only works 6 to 7 months a year, and then he's off the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I just don't.
And I don't worry about it. I don't know if we necessarily mentioned it or made it clear. Alex works in special effects makeup for the entertainment industry.
Yes. He works on a TV show called Z Nation.
Ah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then with everything that's kind of going on, you're just taking it basically day by day right now as the time is. And how long ago did John start the new position?
A month ago.
Okay.
So it's relatively new.
And in the timeline, the wedding was this year in February?
February, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's been like this is just the way I've decided. I don't know how people do it. Like, I don't know how. I feel like I'm very lucky because I don't have to go do, you know, like I don't go to a job. I don't do any of those things. I don't know how people do it. Like, I'm just like, wow, this would have been a shit fest if we all had to do that. Cause like, true. I kind of like joke that my job is managing the three of us. Like, I make sure the plane tickets are booked. We all get to see each other. I schedule all of that stuff out. So, like, that's what I've taken that on for myself. It's the perfect job for me.
So you're the relationship coordinator.
I'm the relationship coordinator. Yes.
Yeah. I was about to use the term manager, but.
Right.
Coordinator.
Or relationship strategist, whatever you want to, you know, call it.
There's a lot of coordinating that goes into this.
Who's on top? Who's on. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe not.
I think we got that one down pat.
In terms of the Vice article that you wrote, is this potential that you're going to do some follow-ups later on? Have they asked you about that?
They haven't specifically asked me, but they've been very nice to me. So I think I want to talk, you know, because I get lots and lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And I was considering doing a follow-up based on some of the questions I got. Just because I did get a lot. Yeah, everybody's really obsessed with the sex. Like, how does that work?
Oh, okay, well, know. All right, hold on. To be fair, I'm going to interject. The three of you are kind of hot. So if you make a sex tape and it accidentally gets put out into the public, I don't think that's a problem.
Right, exactly. That will never be a problem.
or at least, you know, monetize it somehow.
Right, make some money on it. Like, get a little X-Tube version going.
Oh, ho, ho. All righty, Dan.
But there is no sex tape out there.
Damn.
Is there a home security monitoring system we can tap into?
Right, exactly. Something we can hack into. I wish I had a reason to have a home security monitoring system.
Oh, ho, ho.
Because no, because I'll fully admit it was like in that article, you guys have some great pictures. Personally, one of my favorites is the one of your feet.
That's my favorite of all.
Which I know some people out there are into foot fetish. And what it is that the three of you are lying in bed and it shows like from about the knee down, the three of you. And I thought that was awesome because
it puts it
in perspective for folks. And I think it's great if you write more for Vice and it's more of a Q&A style or a continuation. I think people would really get into that. I mean, to be fair, the article made the rounds on Facebook. In social media, and people were like, check this out. There's this article called How I Figured Out the Rules of My Three-Way Relationship, which I'm sure, you know, article titles are meant to, you know, headlines are meant to catch people's attention, and it did. And I was like, what the? And what I love about it is you didn't turn it into like a BuzzFeed top seven, you know, like the things you need to know about it. You were more like, hey, it's us. We're humans and it's fun, but messy and sometimes beautiful and other times ugly. And this is just how it is.
Right.
And the part that I think you put a good point on it was basically like, here's what it comes down to. And I'm going to read from it because you quote it. You said, I am lucky. I am loved and safe. And together we will face the world, the three of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really what it's about. And if people get too tied up in the sex or in the whatever, you know, the legalities, the logistics and stuff, I think that they're losing the point.
It's really amazing. We've had a couple of things go on where, you know, big life things like my mom has cancer and she kind of dipped down for a while. And it was amazing suddenly not only to have Alex there, I had this whole other person there.
Yeah.
Like this, the support you suddenly gain, you just gain, the gains are kind of remarkable, you know, like you, the support system, the fact that there is the three of us and we can take on anything together. You know, it's an amazing support system that I think you have even in a duo relationship, but it just kind of got bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
And not necessarily complex.
No, not necessarily complex. That's the thing. Yes, there are complexities, but the truth is it's – the flip side to all of this is I am shocked at how it just happened.
Yeah.
And people fight anyway. So any of the things I describe are kind of normal anyway. They would have happened with or without John. You know, it just – it's amazing – to realize how big your capacity to love somebody people are. Like, I'm beginning to wonder, I don't want a fourth or a fifth lover. I really don't. But I bet I could be in love with them. I bet I could be in love with countless people. That's the thing that I'm shocked by, is that it didn't diminish anything. You know, like, what I feel for John has not changed anything that I feel for Alex, and what I feel for Alex doesn't change anything that I feel for John. They coexist independently and together. And that's really not what I thought life was like.
Yeah. It's not like the way people believe, like when like a mother has multiple children, that it like there's a certain amount of love that you have, and it kind of gets, it doesn't necessarily get divided. It's just,
Well, people are always like, they can hate a million people, but they can only love one person.
Hmm.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't add up. Like, and people always say to me, oh, I couldn't do that. And I respect that, but I bet they could.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're unable to determine the difference between loving somebody and loving somebody.
Yes.
You know, they can love somebody all they want, you know, all night long in the back room of a bar, quote unquote. But, you know, the sharing a life thing, I think, is the part that they get hiccuped by. They're just like, and I think you said it best in the article. You were like, our ability to love is not limited. And I realized that probably is a thorn in the side of some people, you know, who are the whole like, you know, I have a soulmate and that's all I have in my life. It's like, well, that's fine. Your perspective. But the reality is you can love lots of people. I think of my mom when I don't remember what it was. I was probably in college and I made reference to having more than one best friend. My mother came unglued. She was like, no, that's not. She's like, that's not how it is. Like, you have a best friend. I'm like, no, you don't.
Right.
You know, like right now I'm with you know, in the house of two of my best friends who live in Virginia. But, you know, I have best friends in Cincinnati and in Florida and in, I mean, they're all over the country.
Right. I think it scares people. I think they think it means they're not special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you can love this person and me, then I'm not special anymore. I don't even think it's about their capacity to love. It's about, I think we're all just really fucking insecure. And I'm beginning to realize maybe like the best way to live life is to man up a little bit and to realize I'm okay. If both of these guys leave me, that's going to hurt a lot, but I'm okay. Like I will be okay. It will not destroy me. And that's also, it freed me up. When I got that suddenly, it suddenly freed everything up. Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it would really be hard and sad for me. Like I love them, but my existence is not tied up. And there's mm-hmm. something really kind of amazing to realize. And also to realize, you know what? I'm worthy of two people. I'm worthy of this. Like they do love me. And I somehow, because I think I am duplicitous and I have done terrible things and I am not always a good person. Like I know lots of really good people out there who are wondering why they can't fall in love. And I have been so lucky in love that it's unbelievable, and I am not the nicest person. Like I'm not deserving of what I got. But well, no, I am. But like I think, like if you look at it empirically, I could come up with tons of ways why I shouldn't have gotten it. But then you begin to realize, like, I don't know. I am special. They're special, and I don't have to be so afraid.
I think you nail it on the head that, you know, we're all individually special and that we all deserve love in whatever aspects it comes to us.
Right.
Yeah.
So put that feather in your cap, people. So for wrapping up, Jeff, how do people find you? And I don't mean physically in person, although that might be kind of fun. How do they follow you, get in touch with you, find out what's going on, that type of stuff?
They can go. I have a website, which is Jeff Level, LEAVELL, .com. And then I'm also on Twitter. Uh-huh. And I'm on Facebook too.
Yeah.
So I'm out there. I mean, you can also just Google my name and Vice and that pops up right away and that links you to Twitter and to my website.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then I have a quick question in regards to what you've been writing on the website. Is it fair to presume that that might become a book at some point?
I am writing a book not about the three of us. The other stuff that's more kind of just about things that happened in my life are excerpts from the thing I'm working on.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm working on something called Accidental Warlocks. I think that's the title, but I'm not really great at titles, so they'll probably change that on me. And it's about kind of growing up. I had this crazy mom and this, you know, just growing up. I was also a heroin addict for 18 years, so I talk about that. And just kind of talk about all kinds of different things. And then, yeah.
Well, I will say on behalf of the other two hosts, and hopefully they agree, you are welcome to come back if you want to discuss in terms of the relationship as well as the book. I think that would be great. We've had other authors on and artists and that. And keep us, you know, abreast of what's going on. We'd be happy to let the world know how well the three of you were doing.
Great. Thank you. I love that. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Stumble into the sack. Great interview, Jeff, by the way. I really like that. Hopefully you'll be back for more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyways,
I think he wants to take all he can.
Yeah. In any case, my pick this week is what I call Playing in the Streets, which I'm assuming this was at some appropriate event or something, but we got,
oh my,
A guy with no shirt, just a harness, and his pants down his butt, which looks pretty red. Mm-hmm. He's bending over. I can't quite tell, but I'm assuming he actually is sucking a kind of a hot, chubby hot guy cock. So, and they're right in the middle of the street. There's cars all around them. It says detour.
Even though There's a hot photo. No, don't get me wrong. It's already been reblogged. So there you go. Yeah. But what I think this might be from is one of the like Folsom Street fairs or one of those kind of goings on. It seems to be away from things. But as I look, I'm looking past the sexiness and I'm seeing like I see a few people like walking and crowded around in the really background. Mm-hmm. And as I blow it up, God, that is a nice ass. I'm trying to see if I can see any like license plates, and I'm thinking they're all local or California. It's either New York or California. It could be Folsom East or whatever. Anyway, doesn't matter. Hot picture, except for the fact that detour looks like it's spelled wrong, but it's probably not.
D-E-T-O-U-R?
Yeah, it looks like when I first looked at it, it looked like D-E-T-U-O-R.
Oh, and see, to me, it looks like D-E-T-U-U-R or D-E-T-O-O-R.
Yeah.
Well, it actually looks like D-E-I-U-U-K.
Yeah.
Because just for some reason, that top line or two of detour has got to cut off. And I don't know if it's just some thing.
To be fair, those are California plates.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. So it's probably Folsom. Still, super hot picture. Although, damn it, now I have three. Okay. I don't think he's...
No, well, I think maybe he is staged.
Yeah, it looks kind of staged. Because he looks like he's all up in a belly button. He doesn't look like he's all up in a dick.
Yeah. It is quite possible that all they did was they decided, hey, you know, it would be really funny. And they posed the picture. The guy just has his shirt, you know, pulled over his head. And they just, you know, basically he's just mooning anybody who's looking by. But nothing is actually really shown or anything. And they're faking it.
Yeah. But it's still a nice picture. It's still
plain and
that is a really nice, nice butt.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it has already been reblogged, so thank you.
Anyway, let's move it on.
All right.
Amen.
Get back down here.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a surprising picture.
Yeah. So, it's beautiful. It's I titled it that. And so did Gary. This is our wonderful friend On Fire 40. And it is a lovely, lovely picture of his tattoos and backside. And
lovely framed in a jock.
Mm-hmm. You give me needs, Mr. Mark. You give me needs. This is a really great picture. And I'm... Just because I love the art of your tats, and I love the just like how everything kind of works and frames together. The only thing I wish is that the bag of potatoes wasn't there, because you would have a pretty much almost perfect white, black, black and white, like everything except for you. But that's okay. It's really, really good. It's a really good picture, and I'm going to stop talking.
Gary, what do you got?
Sweet baby Jesus. Needless to say that. Mm-hmm. All right, moving right along. Sorry. My pick, close that one, open that one. There we go. my pick I call Three Harnesses, and it's a gorgeous, well done photo, not surprisingly, by Dusty Cunningham. Dusty does amazing photography work, and I've seen tons of astounding like portraits and profile shots and stuff. And I just really love this picture. I'm presuming it also possibly is from Folsom or Dory Alley or something. It's three guys side by side with three different types of harnesses. And three different ethnicities, I'm going to guess, amongst them. And two of them have ink. One of them is covered, like we just saw with Mark. He's got a nice sleeve, and his whole back panel is done. Mm-hmm. The other one has like a lion's head up on his shoulder. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It just kind of speaks to me in like the whole like, you know, brotherhood and friendship and sexiness at the same time with leather. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because we had a show about a triad relationship, I found a legitimate image that is of three people that is not about sex.
Impressive.
Bravo. I love his tat work.
Yeah.
It's very, I like the arm, especially like it's very, I'm thinking like Mayan Incan kind of.
Yeah. It's very graphic.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, guess what? That's it.
Aha.
That's the end of the show.
Well, we do have one thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
Make sure that you go and you check out on the website. We'll have a couple of links. Jeff Level, his website, mm-hmm. again, is jefflevel.com. That's LEAVELL.com. And if you're interested in Jeff and Alex and John's taste in men, you can now follow them on Tumblr.
Oh.
Their Tumblr account
is... already followed.
Their Tumblr account, if you haven't visited our website, is Imp and Lug. .tumblr.com. That's imp and lug.com. And they have very nice taste in men.
Yes, they do.
So, and every once in a while they post a picture of them, like when they go to the beach or something. So
that's sweet. Mm-hmm. That's so sweet.
Yep. When they went to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's in the show?
Okay, there's plenty of ways to contact us. You pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. You can leave a comment on our blog there. You can also shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Call us, leave us a dirty voicemail at 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud and Tumblr at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus at google.com/+cubsoutloud. You can find us on bearunderground.net, the official bear website of Cubs Out Loud. Just look for the COL Entourage group there. Join us there and talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to just be about the shows. Or you can talk about the shows too if you want to. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Be part of our COL entourage. Please pop over to iTunes. Give us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever. Just rate us, like us, enjoy us. And we appreciate that very much. Also, YouTube, youtube.com/cubsoutloud. Subscribe and comment to our shows there. In fact, you could see last week's show with Hadrian and Gabe. You can see their pretty faces. You're going to want to watching that channel coming up in the future. Trust me. Polina Johnson, as I like to say, from the Frog Pants Network, which could mean something different in there. Anyways, so like, subscribe there. Also, you can find us on Stitcher Radio. Just give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that very much. Find me anywhere on the internet. Says box, that box, puppy box, cup box. Something or other.
I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet, and shit. Nomad Cub on FetLife.
You forgot?
No, it's been a long fucking day.
You're gonna have to just add that to the template.
Uh-huh.
Something. Anyways, I can be found as GearBear 73 pretty much anywhere on the web.
All right. And with that. Say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one, y'all. I need a shower.
After that episode, you got all sticky and wet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Between talking to Jeff and the triad and the Tumblr and the pictures and the
Mark and the that picture of Mark.
Too much sexiness to handle.
Maybe I should stop recording.